Today's show is sponsored by none other than StudyNotes ABA. Ugh, I love when we get to be our own sponsor. I mean, I would love other people to sponsor too, don't get me wrong. But I love to be our own sponsor because there's nothing I feel so passionate about talking about. There's absolutely no lying involved here.
Are you testing in February for the BCBA exam and feeling stressed AF? Well, take a deep breath because these two bitches right here, we've got your back.
Like what you hear in our podcast? Well, imagine everything you need to know for the test broken down for you in a real, relatable, and hashtag memorable AF way. We have fun every Monday and Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So do the conversion wherever you live. We have payment plans available, video bundles, drop in, do whatever best fits your hustle.
We take you all the way from WTF, I just signed up for this test, where the hell do I start? To knowing every last effing detail of this task list so you're going to pass this exam.
We provide you with a study plan so you know what to do when. Consider us your personal trainers, but you wouldn't want us as your actual personal trainer, so we're your personal trainer for studying. We haven't reinvented the wheel. We've just made it a hell of a lot more fun. Go to www.studynotesaba.com. Follow us on Insta at StudyNotesABA to see really beautiful notes and some great study tips. And on Facebook, StudyNotesABA, one word, no spaces in between.
Study.
Behavior, bitches.
Hey guys, it's Liat
and Casey.
Guess what? It is episode 20 freaking 2. Casey,
22.
What's the rhyme?
What are you gonna do? That's
hashtag
terrible.
Do you? Yeah.
That's the worst rhyme I've ever had. Okay, 22. Do you, boo? Yeah. 22.
I like that.
Feeling true. 22. Don't feel blue.
Okay, that's enough, Casey. Now, please, on to our review, hashtag positive reinforcement of the day.
All right, so we are so, first of all, thank you guys for listening to us every week on Monday morning as you may be driving to work or in the gym or whatever it is that you may be doing. We are so grateful that you are listening. And reviews are very special to us. As well as negative reviews, right? So, review of the day. Here we go. All right. It may be hard to get a negative review, right? Negative feedback sucks. But guess what? We, as behavior bitches and just as behavior analysts in general, we love feedback. So, it's okay to get some negative feedback. And we actually take it and we listen to it. So, thank you. So, when you get a negative review or whatever it may be, it may be hard for you to continue, right? So what I did, it was a comparison. Here we go. One negative review. Okay, great. That hit us a little bit hard. But guess what? Right below it, we have somebody we're going to read about today. 5-star, Casey Pop. Wow, we have the same name. So I kind of like you already. But look at what you've done. 10 out of 10 recommend. Hashtag
look what you
real
made me do. Ooh.
Ooh. Real raw, relatable. I recently found this podcast a little less than a month ago. I have listened to every single episode since finding it.
Woo!
And I can't get enough. Not only did this podcast provide incredible entertainment, but it motivated me to quit my job. What the? As an advanced line tech that I loved and apply to a new clinic that is paying me for becoming an RBT as well as providing me with better supervision. Thank you, Leon and Casey. You've literally changed my entire effing life. My goal is now to pass my RBT exam and pursue my bachelor's. Who even am I? Girlfriend, you are a boss. That's who you are. All right. You took the initiative and you did it. Now, thank you for your positive review. And we also love the negative reviews because guess what? It causes us to.
But feel free not to leave them. And by the way, if you're going to leave them, just want to give you guys a ABA advice in general for life. If you're going to give someone constructive feedback, give them constructive feedback of what they can do. There's no need in needing, you don't need to be an asshole about it, right? Just leave a review with constructive feedback. Like, hey, I would like if you guys spoke about this more. Hey, you talked too long at this point, whatever it is. But just realize in life, there's always going to be haters and you just gotta roll with the punches.
That's right. You put yourself out there. You are out there for the world. And that is fine. Because guess what? We love coming to you guys every single week and bringing you the podcast to talk about ABA and everyday life. So, Liat, before we make more people mad, can you quickly tell me what you've been doing?
Yeah, sure. I have been moving. I've been moving into my house. I've been trying to get ready really fast, and I've been doing everything really good. And I have been back on the Motivate and Move Challenge. How about you?
I've been to 75,000 conferences. I have 465 CEUs, and I now have a new desk. It's amazing, and I'm so excited to bring this new podcast to you. Goodbye.
And by the way, the Motivate and Move Challenge is on. Please follow us on Facebook at Behavior Bitches Podcast, and you could join the November Motivate and Move Challenge. It's all about self-care. We have giveaways, cool shit. Sign up for Patreon, www.patreon.com/Behavior Bitches Podcast. And I don't think we can talk any faster than that. So we're on our way to the episode.
So see, today is feedback, pretty
we take feedback V seriously over here, okay?
Like, seriously. Like, we have now just sped up our language probably at a increased frequency of 75 words per second versus 75 words per minute. So you are so welcome to everyone out there. Okay. Anyway,
let's talk about today's topic. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. I'm kind of like really, it's something different than we've ever done before. And it is also very, very, very important, I feel like, to shed light on a topic that maybe is not talked about a lot because there's stigma surrounding it. So we are excited.
As well, I just want to preface this episode with the fact that any insight that we offer does not replace professional advice or seeking out a professional to work with either the individual that we are interviewing today, or if you're someone else seeking out help. We're just two dumb bitches trying to listen to our own voice. So with a little bit of intelligence. So if you are needing help, you should definitely seek help and from another professional. So this is just the warning that you have before we speak about anything, you know? Got to keep our ethics in place, if you know what I mean.
This is not about treatment. This is not to replace treatment. This is to have an open dialogue. And if you do not have an open dialogue, then honestly, what are we here for? We are here to have an open dialogue, right? We are here to take real life shit and maybe throw out some behavioral terms that we can put in there, but we are just behavior bitches bringing you some real life shit, okay? This is not us as representation of a behavior analyst providing treatment. Do not get that wrong. Without further ado, Liat, tell us about who is on the podcast today.
His name is Travis Breeding. He was diagnosed with Asperger syndrome at the age of 22, which we now know that Asperger syndrome is no longer diagnosed. It's just all put into the category of autism spectrum disorders. So Travis hopes to teach others the strengths and challenges of being an ASPE in a service world that is designed for people with a more classic form of autism. Travis has authored over 15 books about living with autism and comorbid mental health issues. He resides in Huntington, Indiana, and has dreams of traveling nationally and internationally to speak on his experience of growing up with undiagnosed autism and becoming an adult. I think this is absolutely awesome. Welcome, Travis.
Hi, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm really glad to be here. And I don't know if you guys put the two together, but I noticed this was episode 22 and I was diagnosed when I was 22. So I thought that
that's
was
exactly
cool.
Why we did it.
Yes, absolutely.
Welcome, Travis. Yeah. Thank you for having the courage and the bravery to come out here today. And kind of, I know that you have, you know, published books and done some of your own podcasting, but to really come on and talk to us instead of a treatment, but come to us and talk about, you know, the reality of life with high functioning ASD. And also when it comes to social shit, right? That is hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, a lot of people, I think, have friends that they can go to about that kind of stuff. But if you don't have a social circle, you know, you don't have a lot of friends you can go to for advice and stuff like that. So it's good.
Well, hey, we're your friends and we're here to answer these questions. Just just an idea of what behavioral principles we will be talking about on today's episode. And there might be other ones because we don't know all the questions that he's going to ask us. We have shaping and breaking down skills, alternative behaviors, motivating operations, creating, establishing operations, increasing your repertoire, satiation, deprivation, real and not real with people and in person. I don't know. That's not really a behavioral principle. Please ignore that.
No, that's just my notes. I love that you're reading actually my outline notes right now. They're not.
Behaviors, skills, training, overt versus covert behaviors. And I'm sure we will be able to throw in lots of other behavioral principles that come up at different times if our brains are smart enough to think of it. But anyways, thank you so much for coming on, Travis. We have some questions for you to start off before you ask us questions. I'm really excited to shed light upon this to people who we have a lot of people listen to the episode who aren't necessarily even in the field. And so maybe they don't even realize what struggles or how the world is seen through the eyes of someone with an autism spectrum disorder. So can you tell us a little bit about what life is like living with Asperger's?
It's very confusing. There's not just one thing that going on that you can kind of pinpoint, oh, this is what's going on that's causing you issues. Like every day is like a multiple things, like you got sensory issues and social skills issues and different understanding different social norms and stuff like that. And I think as you get older, you'll probably, listeners might be familiar with Peter Gerhardt. Like he talks about how he likes working with adults. Because as working with children, you kind of get to be a specialist a little bit and focus on one area. But with adults, like it's so much more complex and you have to be more of a generalist to work with adults. So I think there's a lot more going on. But it was just growing up was super confusing and to not know like why people think you're weird. Like if you just think you're look at yourself in the mirror and like people think I'm weird, like you don't have an answer for that. And so you're really struggling with finding answers.
So I have a question for you. Do you think that when you got diagnosed, you felt like you had, like the diagnosis helped you with telling people or defend, or you know, do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It gave you more of an understanding of,
right. Yeah.
Right. It gave me more of an understanding. I think then it became an issue of like learning how and when do you self-disclose, like that type of thing, and communicating with other people. So like, you can't just walk up to someone and say, hi, I have Asperger's. Will you be my friend? Like it doesn't work that right. simple, that simple. And so it's just learning how to like communicate that there might be something going on, but like, for example, like with girls, like with Asperger's, like if you come on too strong, she doesn't see like, oh, he has Asperger's syndrome. She might think, oh, he's just creepy. So you get that label of creepy. So I guess the technique would be like, I mean, a goal I have would be more how to show her that it might be Asperger's and I'm not just being creepy on purpose, like figuring out how to like not necessarily
disclose that appropriately,
right? Not necessarily verbally tell her, but we talk a lot about like nonverbal communication. So I don't know, it's probably silly, but there'd be some way to like nonverbally communicate, oh, this is what's going on, you know, like that type of thing.
We could definitely talk about that in our answers that we have after. So save that question. That's a great question,
right?
But so I guess you kind of just said, what struggles do you think that someone with Asperger's, you know, that other this would help other people in the world understand about what difficulties there are living with Asperger's as opposed to someone who, let's say, is
neurotypical.
Neurotypical, exactly.
Which I right. hate those labels, by the way, but
right, yeah, because right. no one's normal.
I'm like so fucking weird. It doesn't even matter. So,
well, seriously though, like we're actually all on the autism spectrum somewhere.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. So, like, we are.
There is no ending point to that. So we're all more alike than what people think.
Yeah.
But I definitely think the most challenging aspect of Asperger's for me is that you're very black and white and there's no gray thinking going on. So you're like, hi, I'm Travis. Will you be my friend? Like there's no, like, I don't understand the process of emotionally connecting. And what I think happens is, like, I realize, like, as people are our age, now they're older, you don't even actually necessarily ask someone to be your friend. You just kind of, like, assume through your interaction that you become friends. And I think that's very hard for me to, like, pinpoint and define where we stand, like, on the friendship spectrum. So I think just that the black and white thinking is a huge issue. And I think the other challenge is finding help. I mean, it's difficult to find people who understand. And that's been one of the challenges. So, but just being misunderstood your whole life kind of creates, I think that also kind of creates some like comorbid issues, mental health issues when you're misunderstood and struggling with stuff like that. So
I'm sure that must be so difficult. I mean, I can't imagine that struggle of not understanding as to why you're being received by others the way that you are. And, you know, you learn one thing as a rule, but it's not, you know, there's always different versions of a, you know, like, well, in this situation, you would do this, but in this one, you would do this. So it's kind of hard when it comes to social situations and giving hard black and white rules, right? Like, you're not always going to say,
absolutely,
hi, how are you? Like, if it doesn't fit into the situation, right?
Right. There's not like steps that are like one through this. Like, and I was thinking about you, Travis, the other day. I was at New Hampshire ABA. I was at a conference, right? And I went by myself. Granted, I knew people that were there, but things going through my head, right? Who am I going to sit with? Am I going to be able to have a conversation? Like, all these things. I am a, you know, pretty, well-connected person. I think of myself as, you know, an extrovert. But there are so many things that you think about when you go into these situations. Am I going to say something wrong? Am I going to do this? Like, my head was just spinning out of control and I could not, like, you know, bring it back to earth. And I was thinking right. So much for you and felt so much for you in that moment where I'm like, and I'm not even like, close to what he feels. Like, this is where I was like, okay, if I am thinking all these ridiculous thoughts and my mind is spinning and my verbal behavior, my inner side, my private thoughts are going, right?
Hashtag autocritic in case right. You're studying for the test.
All my private behaviors, right? My verbal behaviors. What is someone like Travis feeling, right? To the nth degree, he's feeling this. And I'm already feeling this. And I'm a person who, you know, I feel like I can get through all these situations pretty well. Right.
Yeah.
Who's
yeah,
my friend? Absolutely. Who's not my friend. But so I just wanted you to know that I was thinking about you the other day.
Yeah. And I think you guys, like, everybody analyzes stuff. Right. So like, if you imagine what you're describing there, like times 1000, like, mm-hmm. that's kind of like what it feels like every day. And you know, a lot of that stuff, like, you guys kind of like process naturally, like, where am I going to sit, or who, like, it just kind of happens, like, flows down. And so, like, for me, it becomes when you see someone like that, like you talked about, just like, for example, saying hi, how are you to someone, like, that's very challenging, because then you have to like generalize and apply. Like, we know context is important. So saying hi to someone at the library is different than saying hi to someone at the club or the bar, you know? So the context issue becomes very, how do you generalize and apply that skill? So we've learned the skill, but now we've got to go out and, you know, this is obviously ABA, but you can, how to generalize and apply that skill across different environments and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And how to, like, so if you say, right, you just said like, okay, you're in the library, right? You're probably going to say one thing to someone like, hi, how are you? Right.
Right.
Now you're in a club. You're going to be like, hey, maybe do you want me to buy you a drink? Like, something like that. You're going to, like, now, like, change up your response topography. Right.
Right.
To be like, this is going to be the context, the environment exactly has to be like, you have to make sure you know where you are. You're at a conference. You might say, oh, hey, like, what are you excited about learning today?
Well, I studied a lot. Yeah, absolutely. I've studied a lot about, like, it's called like social dynamics. So obviously, like, the social dynamics of the library are different than the social dynamics of the club. So like, what I've learned is, if you say hi at the club, you're going to have to come in with a lot more high energy, as opposed to like saying hi at the library or whatever. It's going to be much quieter, less energy.
But your magnitude of your voice needs to, like, kind of like match the situation. Right.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Buying a girl a drink at the club, that's actually a social skill that's kind of confusing in a sense. So, like, I've always, like, it's tough because I'm the guy who's like, always like, when I like a girl, like, because I don't know how to like tell her. So I'll be like, hi, I don't even talk to her. Like, I'll just be like, randomly drop a rose on her chair or something, like a dozen roses. Like, and that's my first step, is like a dozen roses. And so, like, that's obviously very, I've learned that that's very bad, but like, I don't see visualized, like, replacements approaches.
So I have a question for you, Travis.
Yes.
Okay.
But let me tell you something. I could see that, and this is what is so beautiful. I absolutely love working with people on the spectrum on, because you see the intentions are so pure. So what you're doing, like, I see you have such beautiful intentions behind it, right? Like, in fact, unfortunately, this world is made up of so many games and it sucks.
Assholes.
And assholes, and it sucks. And I could imagine, as being someone who is unable to read between the lines, it must be so difficult to navigate. So I do want to tell you I know automatically we want to respond and give the advice as being these tough bitches, like, dude, you cannot do that. That is too much too soon, right? But I also do want to say that I admire the almost the intention and the purity that you feel, like, of the way that you want to, like, you feel something. And so you're like, okay, let me act on it. Right. So sure. I do admire that. However, now we got to be real behavior bitches here and tell you that, like, obviously that is way too strong, way too soon. And unfortunately, that you're right. It's not black and white like that. You would think, okay, I like someone, so I buy them something. Why not? But there is an unspoken game that goes on, and that just would not be successful, in my opinion. Unless maybe you found someone else who also saw things very black and white, right?
Right.
But
my question for you, Travis, is, yeah, when, like, so you said you like a girl, right?
Right.
So tell me what are your steps leading up to now you know you like a girl, right? Is it, right, like the second you see her? Is it after six conversations? Is it, what is it?
I mean, obviously we can kind of joke a little bit about, like, the title, like, met you 5 minutes ago, will you marry me? Like, that's kind of exaggerated. Like, I don't really think it's like that fast. But, like, I think what happens is, I don't, so for example, if you're a guy who doesn't know how to get a girl to pay attention to you or, like, say hi to you, then it's like that gift becomes like, that's how you get her attention. So I think it's like I don't know, this might sound totally strange and totally weird, but, like, sending the flowers is like manding for her attention in a sense. So I,
instead of verbally asking, like, hey,
right,
do you want to go to the park tomorrow? Or, like, do you maybe want to get coffee? Right. So you're now jumping to, like, this, engaging in this behavior, such as sending flowers, right?
Right, right. The issue is too, like, I can ask someone, like, to coffee or to go on a date, but you can't just be like, the problem is there has to be, like, some kind of emotional connection before you ask her to coffee. And so, like, if I don't understand, that's what I have trouble with, is that emotional connection. So if you can't connect, then you can't really ask for, and I was talking to somebody about this the other day, is like with me, my brain works like, well, you're not in my circle of friends. I don't have a circle of friends. I want to get to know you. So I have to get you one-on-one and get you on a date with me so I can get to know you. But I think women's philosophy is, I can't go on a date with you until I know you. So it's kind of like the chicken and the egg kind of thing, a little bit.
Which one comes first?
Right, right. Absolutely.
That's confusing. And I think that one of the things that you and I had talked about, and it struck a chord with me because I've seen this so many times. Oh my God. When you were like, well, you know, sorry, women want to be friends. And then, you know, you have to be nice to the person and, like, create a relationship. Okay. Then you see people at the bar, they've just met and they're making out after 5 seconds. And you're like, why did they do that? And why can't I do that? Right.
Right. Right. Like, well, there's a lot of stuff going on there. Like, for one, it kind of goes against the advice you get. It was like, you should just be friends first and then you start dating. But two, like, even to do that, like, there's a lot of, well, one of two things I think happens at the bar is to start making out within 5 minutes. There's a lot of good social skills going on at the very beginning. But also I think kind of maybe sometimes alcohol plays a role in that as well.
I was just going to say, can you think of maybe more of like the MO, right? So now they're, motivation is weakened, right? Because they are in a state of being drunk. And so now they're like more likely to engage in that behavior versus get to know someone. So that's, you can't look at that situation as a black and white, this is how it should be, right?
Right.
And that's like
and
pulling that away.
Absolutely. And one of the things too, I think that's important to honestly, to be truthful and be completely authentic with you, the reason why I'm like really studying like social skills and kind of trying to learn and teach myself is because it's obviously like if a girl tells you that you're creepy, like that makes you feel bad as a guy. But like also it's like I've associated like, so I was telling someone this today, it's like I kind of feel like when a girl says I'm creepy, that means I'm hurting her and like I don't want to hurt her. So like I've kind of associated like somehow like I've attached the word creepy to my autism. So now I feel like my autism is hurting girls because I have autism, but I like them. So like, I mean, I want to be able to learn how to, like, if that was a goal, if that could be a goal, is like to learn how to not be creepy, then that would be like at the top of my goals list, you know? So
absolutely.
So what do you feel? So I think it's important for people to realize that, you know, just because someone has an autism diagnosis doesn't mean that they don't feel the same desires that, you know, mm-hmm. other people feel, right? So like, tell me what you want. What do you want to feel? Are you looking to have an emotional connection with someone? Are you just wanting to, you know, sexually connect with someone? Like, what is your, you know, a right. well-spoken
I mean, to be honest with you, I think the best answer to that question, and I don't know, I think many other people, neurotypicals, would answer the same way too. When you're going throughout your life, depending on what stage of your life you're at, I think you might be looking for kind of like both or either or, like whatever kind of, like, I don't know how to explain that, but I think you're like, I mean, I really want the marriage and children. Like that's my, like, I really want to have marriage and have kids. But what happened was I learned that like I was coming on too strong and like, kind of learned that like you're not, I guess I feel like because you're autistic, like that's too high of a goal.
So don't ever limit yourself. Don't ever limit yourself there. Okay.
Right. Right. And so like, then it became, but I also heard like again, you get into this arena to where you have Asperger's and you are socially like frustrated. And so you're not getting the advice, you're not getting help. And so you go to the internet. And one time I typed in Google, like, how do you get a girlfriend? And then you get guys like me that are falling into like what they call like pickup artist type stuff. And so you're learning that kind of crap. And I will say that like, that's not good stuff. Like, because for one, funny story, you're very black and white. So you're learning like, okay, girls like bad boys. So then in your mind, you're like, oh, I can't be a nice guy. I've got to be a bad boy. So like in my mind, it's like, well, I can't tell her she's really pretty today. So that means I must walk up to her and tell her she's really ugly today. Like that's the mm-hmm. whole thought process going on there. So it's like the extremes. And obviously like that's not going to work. And I think what happens too is like girls are very good at reading people. So like if I'm putting on this front to where I'm trying to act like the bad boy, like you totally see that I'm like putting on a show or like acting like it. And so like it just doesn't work for me because it's not my persona. It's not my personality.
Let's talk about how confusing AF it is, right? When you see people like, let's just for instance talk about us saying love you, mean it, or whatever, love you, right, to people we've never met before.
Right, absolutely.
How does that make you feel, or what do you think about that?
It's confusing because like you grow up and you learn that like love is for people that are super close to you. And so like, but the other thing that's also confusing about it is like, example, you, Casey and Leah, you could tell each other, love you, mean it. But if I, as a guy, try to tell you, love you, mean it, like, that's not going to be the same. Like, it doesn't mean, so like learning the different context of how to apply it or say love you, mean it. Like that would be definitely something that's challenging to break down and to understand. And like the other thing that I like really bugs me, it's very confusing to me is girls will use the term creepy nice, like you're creepy nice. And so it's like, on one hand, you're like creepy is bad, obviously, but you think on the other hand, you think nice is good. It's like, what she's saying.
It's like an oxymoron.
Yeah. So like, she's saying like opposite things and it's very confusing.
So I could tell you what that one means. I could operationally define that for you. Creepy nice. Creepy nice, I would say, comes across as you are coming on too strong. Okay. That is going to be something along the lines of you are giving way too many compliments way too soon. You are buying too many things way too soon. You are
You're blowing your load in one place, dude.
Okay.
Right. And so that would be an example of creepy nice if you, if it helps you to have things operationally defined.
Right.
But also, you know, as I'm hearing this, and I can only imagine the struggles when you're trying to, and I think it's important also if we're talking about, and I just, first of all, I want to clarify that I remember when I was at Binghamton University, my professor had said something that's like stuck with me always. And it was, if you meet one person with autism, you've met one person with autism, right? Like every individual is different. So, I mean, but a general theme that we do see that is not necessarily every individual with autism has, but is the of taking things very literally, right? So think Amelia Bedelia when they say like, the cake is easy as pie, right? Like an idiom, like no sweat off my back. And so someone's like, oh, is your back sweaty? Right. It's the idea of taking things very literally. So I think this is a common struggle that a lot of people, not everyone again, on the spectrum have. So, right. You're saying like you took creepy, nice, very literally, right? You're like, well, how could that be that someone could be creepy and nice at the same time?
Well, literally, I've spent years trying to figure out like how, because it's kind of like opposite things. So I felt like she's kind of saying that like I'm two different people at the same time. And really, I'm just one person. And so like that was kind of confusing for me, but like I have a problem of like I overanalyze things, and so like I fixate on that, like I fixated on that one issue for so many years.
Just trying and fixation to also is another thing, right? So fixating on something and perseverating on something over and over, and that's not just a trait of someone with autism. That's a trait of many people with anxiety or whatever it may be. Right. You know, fixating on something and thinking, did I say this wrong? Like when I just said that thing about blowing the load to you, now my head went to, oh my God, take it out of the podcast. I'm fixating on it. It's not right. Like take it out. Like, you know what I mean? So like, we all do that. So it's totally understandable.
Right.
It's just where you take it is that kind of level.
Yeah. It gets to the point where like, that's all you think about. So like you can't, even something as simple, and this is where we see problems with autism sometimes, even something as simple as going to work at McDonald's and like flipping burgers becomes challenging if you're fixated on social issues that you're trying to understand and stuff like that. So that's been really challenging. And something else that I do, I've really struggled because I can adaptive skill wise, like there's not really a job that I can't do. Like I can function pretty well and do most jobs, but it's like social thinking wise and social issues. So what happens for me is when I have a job and I start to see, like, if I see a girl I think's pretty or I like her, because I know that I'm going to like want to act on it, or like I'm going to want to send her flowers or something. So when I see a girl at work that I like, I just no call, no show and quit my job because I see a girl at work that I like.
So that was functioning now as like, someone that you need to avoid.
I don't know if that's like what you would call like escape tactics or whatever. I don't know. But like, just like, yeah, because I know that it's not, you're not supposed to date, obviously you're not supposed to like people that you work with and stuff like that. And so.
But that's not a necessarily black and white rule either. Okay. Like, yeah, granted, why do you think that the actual guidebooks say that and your work thing, like no dating employees, no shit, they know it happens because those are the people you're spending majority of your day with every single day. Those are the people you're seeing, right?
Absolutely.
So that's actually why it's in those books. And I know it must be confusing because you're like, well, the rules say don't do this, don't do that.
Well, the other thing I've learned is like neurotypicals. Yeah. Neurotypicals, like you got, like they know the rules, but they also know how to break the rules. And so that's one of the things that I've noticed. But if you're going to break the rules, you kind of have to be socially equipped. Like you can't just not be, like you have to have good social skills in order to break the rules. You know, that's what I've learned kind of.
Interesting.
Trust me, I've been there. Dated a lot of guys I worked with, so don't you worry about that. But my question for you is, okay, just because you see a girl that you think is pretty, right?
Right.
That you may work with does not mean that that's going to be your interest of love, right?
No, absolutely.
So differentiating between that.
Right. I think it's, in my brain, is I need to like categorize things and categorize people. So, mm-hmm. Like when I first meet a girl, Like, I feel like in order for me to approach her, I need to know, should she just be a friend or should she be a girlfriend? Because I feel like that changes, like that would change how I would need to act with her. Because if she's just a friend, you're not going to be like flirty, right? You're not going to be like trying to like tell her you like her. But if she's going to be a girlfriend, so like you would act different in my mind.
So you're putting the cart like way ahead of the horse, right? So you're now thinking right when you meet somebody.
Right. What, like, am I going to marry them? Am I not? Who the hell knows?
You treat that person
as an employee that you work with. Like, if something funny happens in the office, be like, that was hilarious, right? You don't have to be like, oh, but I think you're so beautiful. That is creepy nice, right? That is when you are making that decision that early on. It's like, whoa, dude, slow your roll, right? That is, you need to go in, treat everyone on the equal, you know, playing ground. Like, okay, I work with this guy. Cool, dude. What's up? Nice to see you. Oh, I like your car. Cool. Okay, nice. This girl. Oh, okay. You know, it is, and I think it is definitely a way to end any potential of anything ever becoming of something. If from day one, you are like, this is my target. This is who I'm going after as a love object. That is not giving anyone time to know you for who Travis is. And I know you're saying, like, do I need to be a bad boy? Do I need to be this boy? I think you need to be Travis. That's right. What I think, because it's only going to last so long as you acting as this bad boy, as you acting as this nice boy, as you acting as this, right? At some point, it's going to have to come out of who you actually are.
Right.
And so I think a huge antecedent step to all of this is owning who you are and loving it. Okay. Like, I'm telling you, and I know that I don't deal with the same struggle as you, but like when I lost my fingers, I felt like no one's ever going to look at me the same. Like, oh, something's wrong with her. Like, ooh, I don't want her cooking food that I eat, 'cause like, whatever, finger fell in the food. Like, I thought about all these things. Right.
Yeah.
And I could tell you that, like, it would be like, hi, I'm Liat. I lost 3 fingers. And I thought that's what everyone noticed about me. And I needed to point that out for them. Right. Whereas
I saw you, Liat. I didn't even know you lost fingers. I saw you for who you were.
So I've since
crazy
owned that.
Effing B.
Exactly. I've since owned that and been like, that's just part of who I am. If people don't like it, they could literally S my D. Okay. Not literally. I know you take things literally, so I apologize. Because I don't actually have one, but sorry, I know you joke about it, so I'm joking too.
Yeah, totally. Like, I had to put that together for a second. Sorry.
No, Travis, you're so great. Yeah,
you're great. So it's, I think a huge part of this is you're going to be so much more stressed if you're trying to play a character that you're not, right? So like at a certain point, like I decided I'm owning this. This is who I am. Like all I wanted was these prosthetic fingertips. Like I have to get these items so I can wear them every day and people don't think this about me. And you know what? People have respected me a lot more as soon as I own this and I'm like, this is who I am. Like, this is what's happened to me. Like, you could love me or hate me, or you could honestly F off. Like, that's the other option. Right. If I'm not going to work for you, then you're not meant for me either. So like, you either like me or you don't like me. You like my podcast or you don't. If you don't like it, don't listen. Right. That's what your attitude needs to be like. Also, this is me. I see things a little differently. And you know what? Part of you, I think, is absolutely amazing. I actually really admire the fact that you're true to how you feel about something. Right. Like I said, like, if you like someone, you're going to buy them flowers. Whereas a lot of guys and a lot of us,
fucking assholes.
Yeah, we have to play this game of, unfortunately, you know, like, I'm going to wait hours to respond to this person, even though like I'm sitting right here available as hell to respond. Right.
Yeah. I don't understand playing hard to get at all.
Yeah. So that's a whole nother thing. And so I actually think that is a purity that you carry as a characteristic of what you have. And I think it's actually really great. I really do. And you know what?
Can I chime in here a little bit?
Yeah, please. I'm talking heavily. Verbal diarrhea, as we spoke about earlier. Yeah, not actual diarrhea.
Literally vomiting right now. No.
Yeah.
So, Travis, one thing that I think you and I have talked about as well. Okay. So you want to match the responses, right? So if someone's responding to you, which I think that you and I have gotten really good at, right, is matching the amount of responses. So you may want to send 75 texts or 75 messages. Okay.
Right.
And I may only be able to respond to a couple of them. And so knowing like, and you've, I'm telling you, like you want a little bit of advice from us here as behavior bitches, you're doing a really great job at matching that response now after being told like, hey, I'm like, Travis, I don't have time right now. I have like a lot of shit going on, but I really care about this and I want to talk to you. Right. So matching my response rate is you're doing a really good job.
Thank you. It's kind of, I have a funny story about that. Cause it's kind of like when you're learning how to be like less clingy. So like if you're texting someone like 30 times per day, and then like you do like next week, you're like 20 times per day. Like people don't necessarily provide positive reinforcement for going from 30 to 20 times per day. You know what I'm saying? So like, I think that's interesting. Like you have to be able to like self-reinforce yourself a little bit. And that's yeah. always challenging.
And it's hard because I know that you have a lot to say and I know you have a lot of ideas. And I think that like we had talked about is finding multiple streams to be able to share what you're feeling, right? Multiple situations in expanding your repertoire, right? So now you don't just have Liat and I, you may have all like other people that you may be talking to. And right. And also matching that if I say to you, hey, I got to go. It's like, you know, I've got to go, you know, spend time with my husband. Good night, whatever. Is you now recognize, right? That, oh, great. Talk to you when I talk to you. Have a good night. And then you appropriately responded. Like you did an amazing job there. And I'm not saying this as like, woohoo, pat yourself on the back. But like, these are like the naturalistic environment teaching opportunities where you're like, you totally got it today when you were like, hey guys, like, what are we talking about? Or whatever it was that you said. And I'm like, yeah, like, let's talk about it. Right. And then you sent a lot of messages. That was perfect because we were talking about the podcast today and we needed a lot of that like momentum.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's, so I don't know if this is a good time to transition to this or not, but even something as simple as like we talked a little bit about like dating websites, like sending a first email. So to me, it's very logical. Like my first email to me is simple. It's like small talk. So if I see a girl on a dating website, my first email should be, hi, how are you? Send. That's what's in my head. But like my research has told me that a lot of girls aren't going to respond to that. I don't know why. I don't understand why, but like just saying, hi, how are you? Like they're not going to respond very well. So like, I guess I just don't understand like how to like what you would talk about in the first email and like stuff like that.
Can I tell you that you're not the only one who has issues with that? Like every single one of my friends is like, well, what do you say?
Right.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I said to my husband. And I met him on a dating app.
Okay.
And, but it's different. What works for different people. I could have freaked someone else out, but the person who was meant for me could handle what I said. I said it was a Jewish dating app. And the word new is like, so in the Jewish world. So I said, because I was matching the audience, it was a Jewish thing. So I said, new, when did you plan on messaging? So when did you plan on messaging me? Right. Like I was kind of joking. And to some guy, I probably came on way too strong. And I think there's been a lot of guys. And I think I actually had to meet someone Israeli in the end, when I look at it in hindsight, because I think I come on way too strong for a lot of American guys. Like I come on really strong.
Okay.
Like even Ryan O today was like, holy shit, your poor husband, you come on so strong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's why I had to find an Israeli. He likes a spicy pepper, you know?
who you like, finding who you're going to match with, right? Exactly.
So
like
I'm saying, that. So if someone is not responding to the way that you respond, then it's probably not for you also. Like you use that as a, you know, a process to get rid of who's not for you. Because again, you don't want someone to fall in love or like who you're actually not, because you can't keep up with that forever, right? Like you can't go every single night and research what a bad boy does, right? Like, okay, now I need to go start doing cocaine. Like, no, you don't. Actually, there's a lot of issues that come with that, right? Yeah. Or, oh, a bad boy, they're a drug dealer. Okay, so let me try Google how to become a drug dealer. Like, right? You don't want to do that. You no, don't, absolutely. Because that's not true to who you are.
You want to be who you are, because being who you are, like, is less anxiety. Like if you can just be who you
are. Yeah, you're not having to research it and you're not having to rethink every thought. Like the person who is right for you, yes, it might be more difficult for you to find someone. Absolutely. And you know what? You have your challenges, and I could tell you that I thought I would never meet someone. Who the hell is going to want to deal with someone who spends most of their life in the hospital, right? I didn't also, by the way, I didn't have any of these job things going on at the time. I thought I could never hold a job in my life because I was too sick to do any of these things. Like, who wants to be with a sick girl? That's what I thought. And that was really my thoughts. And I'm like, who's going to want to be with me? But you know what? The right person will be with you. And that is what you need to remember. Instead of like, I could sit here and do all these behavior skills, training things with you, how to respond to different situations and how to do this. Right. But then I'm creating you to be something that you're not. And right. I think that you need to realize what you have is also what makes you you. And that's beautiful too.
Like what are your, exactly. Like you say, okay.
Like you're a badass. You've written how many books? Like 15 books? That's effing unreal.
These are the things that I can offer a female, right? In a non-creepy way, you write down things that you can offer, right? You're caring, whatever it may be. You could write them down yourself. I don't know, right, Travis? Okay. But you know that you are capable of these things, right?
Yeah.
And absolutely. You get into this mindset where you think of, it has to be black and white. I have to disclose everything in my mind to this lady that I want to make out with her on day one, right?
Right. And by the way, I have a cool way for you to present that, but keep going.
So Peter Gerhardt, right, from 1 to 787 steps of meeting someone. So you're in that camp, right? You're saying, hi, my name is Travis. Can I touch your
Yeah.
Right? Like, no.
Right.
Like that has to be there. The break down those skills in between that, right?
Absolutely.
And I think you definitely understand that. And it comes to, what are the alternative behaviors to sending roses on the first day you meet someone, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So like understanding that that's like a high magnitude response where you're like, right. Wow, that's a lot. How about you just talk about maybe a special interest?
Okay.
Maybe you just are like, hey, what did you do this weekend? What about a question, right? Like a back and forth question with someone.
Right. You're right. We're talking about something on a previous episode. I heard you talking about how you just ask somebody something about like, would you like to go on a bike ride? What do you think about that? You know? Mm-hmm. So I heard that like, and that was interesting. Like asking them what they think about that or something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. That was with one of my ex-boyfriends. I was saying we were doing, I think it was a dating episode. And I had said, for me, like I was struggling with ways to connect to him. Right. I was texting him like these really stupid texts, like, hey, open-ended, nothing. Right. What are you doing today? Blah, blah, blah. Like I was literally the one struggling. How do I connect? And what I realized was, okay, so I know he, you know, likes doing X, Y, and Z. So I'm like, for me, I know I want to go for a run today. So I'd be like, hey, what are you doing? Do you want to go for a run? Question mark. Okay. Or you want to go for a bike ride? Like, what do you want to do? Like actually narrowing it down so that the response that he replied to me was more accurate, right? More like it was valid to what I was saying versus just this open-ended response where he could just respond with not much you. And then it's like, okay, great. We're still in that same boat, same situation.
Right.
So absolutely finding that kind of thing.
That medium. And you know, that's what I was saying. So start off with someone, like if you work with them, don't quit the job. That is not the way to do it. Okay. Right. Because now you don't have a job either. And that's not cool either. So for example, have everyone as your colleague. When you're speaking with people, you're naturally going to see what you connect over. Casey and I were both like, hey, we happened to be talking normally, right? Whatever. We met in a natural setting. Actually, I was teaching her for the board and I would talk to her sometimes outside because I'm like, I like this girl. She's loud, whatever. It was like, oh, wow. You like talking a lot too? Cool. Let's do a podcast, right? And that's when it was like moving on to that. So you see what things you have in common, right? Right. I'm not going to go ask someone random, like, hey, someone I have no connection with whatsoever. I'm trying to think of an example. I'm not going to be like,
want to
go do something like I'm not interested in at all, right? Like, I don't like beer tasting. I know that might be cool for other people. Like, I hate beer. So I know that's like trendy or cool or whatever, like all these different, but it's not me. So I'm not going to ask them to do something that's not something that I think that they would find enjoyable and I also would find enjoyable. I'm not going to put myself in a torturous situation like, hey, want to go to a Cowboys game with me? I hate football. I'd rather jab my eyeballs out. So I'm not going to do that just because I know that they like football, right? Something right. that's meeting in the middle. Also, another thing you were asked earlier, and so I wanted to answer it now. You said, how can I, you know, let someone know that I have, this is something that I've also experienced on a different level, but you said, how can I let someone know, like, hey, I'm creepy because I have Asperger's, right? You were like right. saying, like, do I say, hi, I'm Travis. I have Asperger's or autism, however you want to phrase it.
Right.
Like, no, you wouldn't. The same way I'm not going to be like, hi, I'm Liat. I have lupus, right? When I was dating people. But I also wanted people, I remember when I was dating, I needed to let them know that I had this because this is kind of like a huge make or break in the bag. Like, I'm going to be upfront with someone. I'm not going to hide until like I have a ring on my finger and be like, oh, by the way, I spend 73 days a year in the hospital, you know? right. So I remember it's also all about the way you present something. So take it as this. I would present, hey, we'd be talking and I'd be like, yeah, like I have some health issues, whatever it is. And it's like, oh, you do? Like, what are they? The way you present it is really important. Okay. So I remember being like, if I'm like, yeah, I have this condition, it's really creepy. Like, I mean, some people don't live forever. I don't know if they could have kids or not. A lot of people like die with lupus, whatever, right? Like that's creepy. That is like number one, like, all right, I don't think this is going to work out, Liat. I'm not really looking for someone on their deathbed. Right. Okay. Right. So it's all about the way you present it. So I remember being like, you know, I've had people with diabetes. It's like, oh, this is a condition I have and this is how I treat it and this is what I do for it. Like every now and then every now and then I need to go to the hospital, get some fluids, Dilaudid, perk myself back up and I'm back up running again. That's why I presented it. The same way you could show your abilities, what you do. I think it's awesome that you've written this many books. I can't say I've written one, right? So I would be like, yeah, like I really enjoy writing books. Oh, cool. What do you write books about? They're going to say, that's what's going to happen. You're going to be like, you know, I write about, you know, about the difficulties I've gone through growing up or, you know, living a life with Asperger's. Oh, cool. Right. You're presenting it as something that you have control of and you are proactive about. That right. is so much sexier than someone being like, hey, I want you to know I have lupus. I might live only till 43. I might be in a wheelchair at this age. I might be this. My fingers do fall off regularly, blah, 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 right? Like that's creepy. Okay. And it's the same idea of being like, I'm Asperger, so I'm like going to be really creepy to you and ask you all these questions and buy you flowers, right? Like you are giving someone information through a positive way of saying things about like, you're showing you're a badass. You've written these books. I don't care if someone has Asperger's, cancer, lupus, or whatever they have. They've still written a book. That's a pretty badass feet to have underneath you, let alone how many do you say you've written? 15, over 15. Like, that's really cool. Own that shit. Look at what you can do.
Right.
As opposed to what you can't do.
So like, could that be something you would send like in an email, a first email? Like, so I write books like for a living, you're kind of like, or I mean, is that something?
Absolutely. So like, so tell me about yourself, right? And that's a great way to start a conversation, by the way, instead of saying, hi, how are you? Let's be honest. You don't know this individual. I don't really care how you are. Right. Okay. I don't care how you are because I don't actually know you. Right. So it's more along the lines of like, so I would say something like, so tell me what makes you cool.
Okay.
Right. Or tell me like a fun fact about you. Right. Like tell me a fun fact about you. And it could be, hey, like your site or your photo or your whatever it is profile. I actually have never online dated. So I have to like say that I have no idea about it. But say, like, tell me about like, you know, that seems really cool. Like, let's talk about that, whatever it may be. But that's when you would then be like, oh, this is what makes me cool or what makes me different, right?
Okay. Right, right. So also I'm guessing like just kind of analyzing things that like when you send the first email, you probably don't want to actually like write a book in the first email.
No, I would start it off as like, hey, tell me something cool about you. Or like, hey, tell me two truths and a lie. And like, if I were you, I'd make one of your truths. I've written over 15 books. Someone's going to be like, that's a lie. It will give you an opening to talk about that you've done that, right? And then you could be like, oh, cool, what do you write books about? That's just how a conversation is naturally going to progress.
Okay.
Right? Great. Like, holy shit, this person's written 15 books. What the F have they written it about? Right? And that's where you're like, and you own it. You don't say like, the challenges I face every day of living with Asperger's. No, you say like, you know, the difficulties I went through growing up being undiagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. That's okay. How you say it.
Right.
And like, don't let that define you, right? Like you take that and you now make it your passion, your why, your who you are versus like, this is who I am. I have Asperger's and I am this. It limits me. Do not let it limit you.
Okay. Yeah.
Definitely. I'm like, we're not giving you, again, no professional advice, but like as my own personal, me and you talking here
like
today.
Like as a friend telling you.
Yeah, like
you
I'm
this?
A friend.
Yeah.
Do not let it limit you. Do not let it define you. Let it be your story and own that shit.
Okay. Awesome.
And just so you know, I could tell you that I truly believe the success of my business, Study Notes ABA, I really believe that it is actually because I like people actually started caring because I own my story. It was like, this is what I went through. This is who I am. I might not be able to make it to class. I might be sick. I might be teaching from the hospital. I might not be able to use my hands because they're freezing, but like, this is who I am. Like it or leave it or get the F out. Right.
Right. Right. Absolutely. That attitude kind of like, you know,
Confidence is sexy. Confidence right. is really, really sexy.
Right.
Okay. That like sells. Absolutely. And not fake confidence, like real confidence. Like you're confident in the books you've written, right?
Oh yeah. And also not cocky. Like cocky's bad too. Like don't be cocky.
Right. Right. That's a good job there. Like you don't want to be like, I'm the freaking shit, but you want to be humble.
No, you don't need to say I'm the freaking shit to feel. You need to be like, I am who I am and I own it.
Exactly.
And I appreciate who I am. You don't have to appreciate me. That's fine. But I am who I am.
Okay.
Like excellent. Travis, I have a question for you. What yes. other questions do you have for the behavior bitches that you're on this podcast right now? What is like any
this might
dying
need to be our
thought?
Last question just for timing yes. purposes.
But what is your like anything that you are thinking dating wise, social wise, anything you want to bring up right now?
There's so many. I'm just thinking of like, I would say like what qualities make a guy a friend versus what qualities make him like a boyfriend, like, and what's the similarities and what's the differences between that?
Well, first of all, it's all individualized.
I was about to say, you know about ABA. I know Travis, you are highly educated in ABA, which another thing I would tell people about you, I'm fascinated in behaviorism. You don't say I'm fascinated in finding out how I could sexually engage with a, you know, an individual. You say like, I'm highly interested in behaviorism. Chances are people be like, cool, what is behaviorism? And you say it's why people do what they do, right?
Okay.
Just saying, and you know, everything has to be individualized. Like what I find, what is important for me to have in a husband or a lover or a friend is completely different than what Casey needs, right?
Absolutely. No, it's completely different. And that's like one of the things I wanted to get across to you, Travis, is that it is different. Like the difference between friend zone and like sex zone, right? Or whatever it may be, a relationship zone.
Right.
It's not a clear thing. It's not something that we can define. It's not something that you could ever black and white define. It is just how you feel with someone and you need it to match their feelings, right? So right. when feelings match feelings, that's when you move to that other level, right?
Okay.
So yeah. It's just about, and I know like, you know, once you find that connection and feel that, that's going to be that that learned behavior. Now you're going to know what that connection feels like. And then you might feel heartache and you might feel like this horrible negative shit about it, right? But
right.
it's not about how do I get there? There's no advice for like, how do you do it? It's about this like the social skills of just being A, not too strong, right? Not satiating someone on this, on you, right? or right. your messages, right? Kind of bringing it back to like, okay, I'm now going to match their response, you know, see what they're interested in. And instead of like putting all my stuff into them, I'm going to, you know, even it out over a bunch of people that I'm friends with or whatever it may be. Until you get to that point where you now feel this, all right, now I feel a connection, right? I feel this person is now responding to me in this way. They're touching me in this way, whatever it may be. And then that's when you cross over into that sexual zone versus meeting someone and saying, hi, I'm Travis. I want to make out with you. Like, you may be thinking that. That's fine. Think it all you want, right? But keep that in your head.
A lot of us think that stuff. Like, you're so hot. Like, Casey has crushes on a lot of people.
Oh, my God. It's insane. But, like, I'm not going to say that, right? We got to, like, learn to what to keep to ourselves and what to say out loud.
Right. Absolutely.
And and those are, like, that fine line of, like, okay, you're not going to say that to someone right away.
Right. I mean, it's helpful even just to, like, talk about process this stuff. So like just to help about it and have an outlet to talk about it. So that's very helpful as well.
Good.
Yeah. So I know that we cannot give everything in black and white either. But what I could give you in black and white is be you, because someone is going to like what someone else thinks is a creepy weird. Someone might think is a cool weird. Okay. Like a lot of people are like, oh my God, like Leah.
I want someone to send me flowers. Says,
right. The shit she says is just like, you know.
I can text your husband and give him the location of the flower shop that I use so he can call, send you flowers.
Well, he needs to listen to an episode first. He doesn't even listen to her episodes. Neither does my husband.
You just call him out.
Nope, neither one of them. But Travis, I mean, your bravery again for coming out today and talking about this and just spreading light. Because guess what? You're right. It's not talked about enough, and there we focus a lot on the ABA
people
treatment.
Under 21 years old. Like services are not focused enough for people over the age of 21, and it is
more for higher functioning and like higher verbal right behaviors. And we need to really focus on that. And Travis, I think that what you have is a nice niche to. Help people. You're doing what you need to do to help people. You are proactive. And I think what you need to continue to do is engaging in these conversations at an appropriate response rate.
Like I was telling somebody earlier today, and this might sound strange or weird, but like, I don't know how to explain this, but just like talking to you guys about social skills is actually even more fascinating to me than like getting a girlfriend. So like, I don't know, like just that interest in talking about social skills.
I mean, right now, if that's more motivating to you, right? That's higher motivating to you. And also it's going to build those skills to hopefully maybe get you to do that, right?
Right.
Then that's great.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on because, you know, a lot of people have the wrong idea that autism is only a person who doesn't speak, you know, who maybe like is banging their head against a wall or whatever it is. And like, that's not it at all. So if anyone takes away anything from this episode, realize that you have that all wrong. Right. So it's so awesome to have someone who is so outspoken and able to express what it is like for an individual with autism living everyday life. I hope that you took something away from this. We will definitely share with our listeners in the show notes about where they could find you to reach out. Maybe someone else connects and you never know in life where you are going to network or meet someone. So everyone you talk to is connecting. And I see you're doing that. And that is awesome.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Like, actually, I mean, I connected with Ryan O and then like started connecting with everybody else. So that's been pretty cool.
That's how it happens. I mean, I connected with him and the next thing I met Sarah and then I met, you know, it's just like, all the time. And now
I've been following him around to 3 conferences in 3 states in 3 weeks. So it's fine. It's definitely not a stalker.
And I'm just saying, so Casey is someone who comes across like creepy strong. She Wicked follows strong. Him everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And that's why he likes me more. But who's judging, you know? Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Ashing-wah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, but I think it's important. Like you said, you were talking about autism and how like people have this image of what autism is.
Yeah, give them a takeaway message. That's a great way to end the show. Give them a takeaway.
My takeaway message is simple. You cannot operationally define autism.
Amen, baby.
I like that ending. You were great today, Travis. Thank you so much for coming on. I think this is going to do a lot of good in the world.
It is going to do a lot of good. And Travis, thank you for, again, being able to share your message. Share everything that you go through, the struggles, as hard as they may be, they will help somebody that is listening today. So if you can do if anything from this episode, know that you help somebody. And I know you are continuing to do that with your books and your podcast. So
absolutely,
thank you, Travis.
Even for me, you know, I mean, I've worked with so many people with autism and just hearing a story again makes it all more personal to me and reminds me what I'm doing. So thank you.
Yeah. And I want to thank you guys for doing the podcast and what you're doing as well, because it just raises awareness to a lot of the issues that kind of get ignored and left behind. So I appreciate that.
So we all appreciate each other. This is a circle of appreciation. So amazing.
Spiral of gratitude, baby.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. As always, subscribe to our shit. Leave us 5-star reviews. Find us on Instagram at Behavior Bitches Podcast, Facebook at Behavior Bitches Podcast. Our website still is a joke. So, yeah. Anyways, reach out to us if you have topics you want us to talk about, if you want to sponsor an episode, whatever you want, just reach out to your bitches. We're here for you.
Always.
As always, love ya.
Mean it.
Hey guys, it's Liat.
And Casey.
We just wanted to take a second to let you know that if you're thinking of being a millennial like us and starting your own podcast, there is a way.
You can do your show without having to become an audio editing and production wizard, because guess what? We don't know shit with that. But we have Alan at Pretty Easy Podcast, who helped us get started. He records our shows, he posts them, he adds awesome, awesome music and cool shit when we don't even know what he's doing. He sends us teaser episodes, he does it all. We just sit here and friggin' talk.
We shoot the shit, and you can record from home, your office, the park, a bathroom stall at work, it doesn't matter. He provides the complete podcast studio. All you need is a microphone and you're good.
Alan caters to your schedule and gives you a producer for your show at your beck and call. He has been super flexible with our schedule. Whenever we need him, we go to Google Calendar. We just book him and he does all the hard work. It's like so incredibly easy. That's why it's probably called Pretty Easy Podcast.
So be heard and have some fun podcasting like us. Go to prettyeasypodcast.com today.